Welcome to Culture Over Coffee, a podcast focused on improving company culture and fostering employee engagement. Every week, we chat with experts and thought leaders about the latest proven practices to reduce regrettable turnover, increase productivity, and retain key customers. So pour a cup of your favorite brew and join us. I'm your host, Beth Sunshine, SVP at Up Your Culture. Career development shouldn't be a checklist. It should be a catalyst. In this episode of Culture Over Coffee, I sit down with Deb Kuehn, who leads career development and programs at TransUnion, to explore how growth pathways can transform company culture from the inside out. Deb shares incredible insights, including why TransUnion replaced rigid career ladders with squiggly careers, helping employees explore lateral moves, expand responsibilities, and grow in place. How focusing on transferable skills, what she calls superpowers, creates a culture where people feel valued for their unique strengths, not just their titles. And why career development must stay top of mind to drive engagement, and how even simple manager conversations can reignite motivation and ownership. Well, hi, Deb, and welcome to Culture Over Coffee. I'm so glad that you're here with me today.
Me too. It's nice to be here.
You lead career development and programs at TransUnion, where I believe you've helped design innovative growth pathways that strengthen both engagement, also retention, which is why I've been really looking forward to learning from you. You've seen firsthand how meaningful career development can really become a cornerstone of culture, not just a human resource process, but a daily experience that shapes how people feel about their future. So I'm excited to dig into that area with you today, what it looks like when career development becomes a cultural advantage. So are you ready to get started?
Let's do it. Let's get started.
Okay, good. So we'll start big picture. Many companies we work with view career progression as primarily an HR initiative. And I'm curious, is that how you see it at TransUnion, or does it live somewhere broader in your culture?
Well, you know, it's interesting, even the term career pathing, because at TransUnion, we're less inclined to really use prescriptive pathways in general. And we've leaned more in the direction of transferable skills, or we call them superpowers. And maybe it's because we are a matrix environment. So we are naturally talking to a lot of people, and there's lots of transferable skill experiences happening. So we really have people thinking about those transferable skills in terms of the functional knowledge and their soft skills. So we really introduced, rather than pathing, we introduced more squiggly careers. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but Helen Tupper and Sarah Ellis. And that really resonated with people because I think when we think pathways, we think very linear ladders. And that can really slug a career and also can be very confining. I think with the newer career generation coming in, they can feel stuck or trapped. So the idea of squiggle careers really is looking a little bit more on who you are and how do you want to grow your career in different directions. So the language we use at TransUnion is, you know, how are you growing in place? What, you know, maybe you enjoy your career, you want to continue and you feel challenged. Maybe you want to pivot to a new team with those transferable skills or superpowers. Maybe you want to expand responsibilities, because I think, you know, we're trying to get people away from the language about promotion and more about how do you want to grow and develop in general. So what's interesting about our culture, because of the matrix and the transferable skills, we've got about 28% of our global roles are filled internally. And because most of our managers, because of the matrix environment and understanding our culture, if they know that you understand, we can launch you a little bit quicker. So there's been thriving careers to just pivot in different directions and include, you know, the internal population leveraging those talents.
It's totally speaking my love language when you refer to superpowers. I just love that terminology and the concept of understanding what a unique individual brings to you, what skills they have, how they can apply that. Building on all of that, how does your company use career growth to drive retention and engagement? And what's worked especially well in keeping people inspired so they do grow with the company rather than looking for opportunities for growth elsewhere?
I think one of the key ways to drive retention is really having, it's starting with a really strong culture. And, you know, I'm speaking from the TransUnion standpoint, but, you know, we absolutely message that our employees, we call them associates, are our most important asset, which is interesting because some organizations will say our customers, but the belief is secure your mask. If our people are happy, they're going to outperform, they're going to outdeliver for our customers. So that is an important piece. And I think our associates actually feel that. I think also around that is having strong values and beliefs. It's kind of our personal brand of who we are as a company. And we're actually evaluated in performance reviews around those values and beliefs. So things like I own it, which is a key driver of career development. So, you know, I can use the language of this is one of our key beliefs, and you do own your career. So, you know, that is, you know, or you own a project or whatever that might be. I make a difference and so do you. I think like a customer are key values that we instill as part of who we are as a culture. And what's interesting about TransUnion is that we have historically had very low turnover rates, meaning we're at 8%, which is much lower than the industry average. And I have to say, you know, when you think about people need to feel happy, need to be a part of the culture. And I think that is really why we are what we do. So we do regular engagement surveys, which is nice, but we actually action on those things. For example, one of the things that came up I think this was kind of a lull in COVID, but the folks were feeling that they didn't know what our tools and resources were. We needed to double click on that. So we did a whole initiative on career this year. We call them quarterly career clinics around the talent development lifecycle and really reinforced some of the key messages around career, ownership, the values, all within the programming, and had people speak about how their careers had pivoted and panel discussions. In addition to us not just delivering content, but we had a huge, huge turnout. We have 14,000 employees. We had 8,000 people come to the first kickoff session, for example. So it was wildly successful. But I think if you want to drive retention and engagement, I think it really needs to start with the culture. And, you know, surprisingly, we even have we call them boomerangs because of people will leave and then come back because they really love the culture that is a part of TransUnion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big chunk of people that turned out. That definitely is, you know, feedback that was valuable. On the other hand, what happens when employees don't see a clear path forward, even if it's a squiggly path? What if they don't sense that? And what are some of the warning signs that a team might, maybe they're losing that sense of progress or possibility?
Well, you know, I think that there's a fine line between mastery of a task and boredom. So I think that folks need to know that there are possibilities. So one of the, when I think about how to keep people engaged, I think of the designers of a video game. And that is that it starts out easy and it progressively gets harder. And then you get people excited about what's happening in the future or what the future could look like. And then you connect it to sort of a global connections and other possibilities. And I think about that in terms of career. So when somebody's first starting, if they say to me, oh, I have it all figured out, I said, oh, then that means that you're getting the baseline, but you don't have the complexity. So let's give you some complexity now. Oh, you're ready for this now? Oh, you know, now we can give you this. Oh, we're going to put you on another project to get you just feeling a little bit more engaged, because repetition is the big thing, big killer. And that's what people will say. And if they don't see possibility. So asking questions like, where have others gone that have been in this career? Having managers talk about, well, here's some of the possibilities and different directions that you can go. And I think managers are very, very key in someone's feeling that they're growing or being or stale. So it involves feedback, observations. I think it also involves checking in about how a person's feeling. I have this, I give this image of I have people think about a gas gauge and about a gas gauge in your car. And like, think about that for yourself and think about your day-to-day job responsibilities and ask yourself, where's your energy or fuel in your gas gauge for the work that you're doing? And so what we have managers do is bring that discussion up and even make observations. Maybe I think somebody's at half full and they're saying they're on three quarters full. There's a discussion that can happen. And the managers, you know, can then say, you know, where's your gas gauge? If you say, you know, I'm at a half full, managers can then say, well, what would it take to move the needle? What do you need? What can I be thinking about to help you have more engagement, feel more challenge, build skills? So that is a way that people will feel like there's movement happening. I also think that, you know, we've been a little hesitant to do putting a development plan together. When I came on the scene, you know, the first ever global career coach for TransUnion over 9 years ago, you know, people wanted to see more career, and our engagement survey went up 9 points within 9 months that I was there, because it was, wow, they really are meaning this, that any employee can come for coaching to talk with me.
First of all, I wrote down while you were talking, there's a fine line between mastering a task and boredom. I mean, yes, that's so obvious. And yet when you said it, it was just such a light bulb moment for me. So I appreciate you sharing that. I also love the transparency of these conversations that you as a coach, that your managers are having with people, asking them how they're doing, providing them with feedback, but also being open to hearing those check-ins and investing in getting those gas gauges going up. I think that's just such a great practice.
Yes. And I think that that's what gets people thinking about possibilities. And that's when then you're not feeling so stuck. And there's something too about people wanting to be unique too. So again, career paths can be very defined and it can feel very stifling. And I think it's really important that you show taste possibilities through other stories. That's been a big one with us. Panel discussions, showing career journeys in a PowerPoint discussion inspires other people, like, oh, okay, this is what this looks like.
Right. And it can look like so many things because you're focusing on the individual. So it's not a cookie cutter kind of thing. So you've kind of touched on this a bit, but maybe you have something to add. I don't know. When career development or, you know, individual growth is done really well for a person, for an employee or an associate, What kind of cultural shifts have you seen overall, kind of that high level view? How does that show up in how people show up every day or approach their work every day?
And I was thinking about performance reviews at TransUnion, and again, sometimes, we don't want to think of things as a checkbox exercise. When I first came to the scene, I asked if we had a career plan of any sort, and they said, oh no, we don't want it to be a mandatory exercise. We want it available. So I just had these suggestions, but I do believe that you do need to put pen to paper, put some thoughts together about what it is that you're focused on, where you want to go. And that, I think human nature, people want this prescription pad to here it is. This is what it's going to look like. You're going to do this for this amount of time. Then you're going to get this. Then you're going to do this. And it doesn't work like that. And folks don't want to reflect, because when we're doing our work, it's our day-to-day work, and we're not necessarily thinking in that way. We're executing on whatever work that we're doing. So it's like having your nose on a Monet painting. You see a lot of stuff, but you don't know what it is. And career reflection is stepping away and going, oh, look at that. Look at those images that come together. I see now actual story and structures. And that's what I think folks need to think about. I think the culture shifts when career development is done well, I think it's first education. People do need to be reminded that you own your career. It's not done by anyone else. There are supporting partners like organizations and your manager. But I think it's important to be transparent. You talked about this, about just the fundamentals. My LinkedIn, my statement is career planning doesn't have to be such a mystery, because I think that we've made it more complicated than it is. And it's really in my coaching, it's just three questions. Who are you in terms of the skills, your personality? What kinds of things do you want to do, and how do you get there? Who, what, how? And that is simple. If you can say it, it's a plan. But sometimes when we put it on paper and it's a discussion with your manager, then your manager can support you. I think it's important for organizations to have tools in place to help folks grow. I created a career corner where we house a lot of the core curriculum that I built and tools and resources. I also think the 70-20-10 learning model is really important. And it's not just about the 10% take a class, but really in that 20% through mentorships, connecting with people, learning from one another, being curious, and then the 70% actual on-the-job experiences, exposure to practice, and then get feedback. So the art of feedback is really, really important too. And then I think career development is, it can go forward. And, there's a lot of exciting things around AI and career that are out there that I think is going to be a game changer for us in the future about where things can go, which is exciting. And again, not intended to be prescriptive, but to give us more insights on different types of pathing that you might want to explore in Squiggle.
It's a great visual with the Monet painting to just illustrate the need to step back. And you're right. People get so caught up in the day to day doing the work, they sometimes fail to do their personal growth and to really think about what's next. I love that you've really built a process around that. Do you have resources available to help with that? Now, not everyone wants the same kind of growth. You've made that point, and I'm so glad you have. So how do you recommend, for those who are listening, who work at other companies, how would you recommend that they honor those individual ambitions of each unique person and still keep things aligned with the organization's bigger goals and the need for growth and the need for strategic planning?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that first and foremost, I think each individual person needs to define their definition of success. Because I think there is a bit of a belief that, oh, it should be a, I should be a leader. And, you know, we can't, you can't, when you look at organizations, they're, it's a triangle that it, the smaller part of the top part are the people leaders, the leadership, and individual contributors. And we really want to drive the fact, where do you get your purpose? You know, how we want to build that leadership capability, whether you're managing people or projects, that's what we do in our organization, but really thinking about starting with that purpose piece and looking holistically at your career. You know, I think it's your job to navigate your story, your brand. I think that's a really key important part because human only going to know you in the context of how they see your title and what they're, what they think that is in their head or what that might mean. So I think you, you're constantly informing, sharing a bit of yourself through your story. And I think that that's what makes us all unique. And I always say that in this room, if we all had the same job, we are each given unique gifts. And those gifts are going to be how we execute on our job in a different way, even though we're reaching the same goal.
That's exactly right. And it's so interesting because people are wired so differently, right? And so only when you really understand someone's unique strengths and where they perform at their best can you really help them think through what next might look like. So let's wrap up with something practical. I'd love for you to share, do you have any advice that you might give others who want to turn career development into a real culture building strategy, something that strengthens their culture, engages their people, using your term, not just another checkbox to check, but you know, something much more thoughtful than that?
You know, I think I've touched on a lot of the points about that. I think the thing that is going to be really important is that career needs to be very top of mind because people will go back into their rabbit hole and do their jobs. And you can have all the tools and resources, but then they'll forget about that. I mean, I referenced the initiative that we did on Global Career Weeks, first time ever we did that. And, you know, I have a curriculum, I have recordings, I have our own site, but if you're not constantly putting it in front of their mind, they're back in that Monet painting with their nose on it and they can't sort it out. And career is such an emotional, it has so much emotion attached to it. Even when I was talking about the gas gauge and people can always tell me where the gate, where their gauge is. Now I always say, you know, there's this invisible gas gauge and that's the emotional gas gauge. That those are other factors that are impacting your abilities there. And so I think that those are some things that you have to keep hammering through, like, you know, we're doing this, this is important. This year, we actually put a development plan, very simple with a couple different questions as part of the mid-year review that they were required to do so we can at least pull some data about it. And again, it's not a formal plan. It was just asking, what do you think your next step is of the three choices that I had given? In what specific ways do you want to grow? So the manager can then be thinking of some new things. But I think that if you're not sincere about them and you put all the tools in place, people are not just going to automatically leave their jobs and go into it. So my advice is really pull out a robust strategy and make sure it's top of mind in people's minds. So when they do have that emotional piece, that's going to be the time when they're going to say, oh, you know, they're not doing anything for my career, but they're not owning any part that they're doing that's maybe getting in the way of that. And those are some of the things that we have to remind ourselves. And that's why some of the practical tips that we do, part of Career Weeks this year, one of the things is a transparency of what promotions look like at TransUnion and how that is how, what considerations come into play. It's not because you've been here for a while. It's not because you're working extra hard. That isn't, it doesn't equate a promotion. And so things like that as part of the education part. So we can go back to that and say, okay, if you're feeling stuck, if a person can say, oh, there's no career here, let's go back into this. You know, you did this. Did you follow through? What plan did you put in place for some of these things? And hold that ownership right with the employees.
I love how intentional you are about so many things, ownership being one. Transparency, just these open conversations where things are not taboo. I really like that too. Also, just the ways you have found to keep things top of mind for people so they don't get lost in the speed of business and these things remain important. I want to thank you, Deb, for joining me on Culture Over Coffee, for sharing your insight into how career pathing can truly shape company culture. I think you've shown that when employees see a clear and personalized path forward, even though it's not that linear straight path, but they know there is that next step. I have a next step, and what it's going to look like, you know, is up to me. I think that fuels engagement. It strengthens trust. It turns growth into a shared experience. It's probably one of the many reasons people want to work at TransUnion. So thank you for joining me. And for those listening, I'm going to include Deb's LinkedIn profile in the show notes so you can connect with her directly. I'm also going to add a link to our Culture Health Quiz. It's a quick interactive tool that helps you assess where your organization stands and what you can do to strengthen your culture. So thank you everyone for joining us for another cup of Culture Over Coffee. Thanks so much for spending time with us on Culture Over Coffee. If you enjoyed the conversation, be sure to subscribe and join us for every episode. For more helpful information about company culture and employee engagement, visit us at upyourculture.com.